Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Europe brand. What does it mean? Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is July the 18th. I'm Rebecca, your old friend. Well, friends, I'm happy to have Peter join me on the program.
Hello, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. Nice to be back.
Peter, it's great to have you back. We've been talking about the Made in Europe label. Yes. And I'd like to ask you, Peter, when I say the term Made in Japan, what do you think of?
I automatically think of cameras. Really, that's what they were best known for when I was growing up, cameras,
yes.
But also any kind of audio, video equipment, generally technological equipment.
Yes.
If something was made in Japan, you assumed it wasn't a banana.
Yes, yes. You assume it's probably some kind of electrical appliance.
Really, it was.
And
yeah.
Very well-made electrical appliance.
Right.
Yes, yes. Agree. For Made in Japan is very well-made electrical appliance. You think of Sony, you think of the video cameras.
Actually,
when
I was growing up, you thought particularly of cars, automobiles.
Really?
I was growing up in the decade when Japanese automobiles began to become a familiar sight on the streets of the United States, and there was, you know, some pushback against that. United States automakers felt like they didn't like the competition.
Right.
But, you know, nowadays, I think, generally speaking, Japan makes the most reliable automobiles for, you know, a middle-class consumer
range.
In the world.
Yes. Yeah, the price range, right? For Peter, how about the Made in Germany label? What do you think of when we say Made in Germany?
Oh, then I think precision,
yes.
High quality. I think particularly of certain car makers, all of which are high quality and precision made. I also think of chocolates.
You think of chocolates.
Bakery items. German pastries are a particular treat. They do those well.
They do those well. Yes. It's very interesting, Peter. I was thinking cars because we're talking about cars and just thinking of BMW, Mercedes-Benz.
Porsche.
We're thinking of Porsche. Yeah, we're just thinking of the nice cars, right? These are not the middle-class cars. These are the upper middle-class, the highest,
right,
highest
exactly.
cars. And then how about Made in Italy? What do you think of when we say Made in Italy?
Well, even nicer cars, really.
Nicer in terms of beautiful,
Ferrari,
right? They're just absolutely
Lamborghini,
beautiful.
Maserati, yeah. And of course, when you think of Italy, you think of high quality clothing.
Fashion.
Valentino.
Dolce &
Gabbana.
Yes.
Balenciaga.
Yes.
And you
Armani.
Also, Armani. Italy's also got it with food, I have to say. Credit where credit is due. You know, Italian cuisine is some of the best cuisine in the world. Pasta.
Peter, I agree with
pizza,
you.
Pizza.
Italy has
Italian
such
wines.
Good food. You better not get me started on food because I'll turn this into a 26-minute program on food. I can go on and on about food. Italian food is amazing. Even, like, when you go to Italy, even the most boring, simple pizza. It tastes better than anything I can find here for pizza.
Sure.
They really do food well. But Peter, I think the point is when we think of different countries, we immediately think of the things that they really excel in, the things that they're really good in. So interesting, we said made in Germany, we said made in Italy. Now these are individual countries. But now we are looking at the Made in Europe brand, which is, you know, symbolizing things that are coming out of the EU. Not just one country, but as a group, as a collective group, what is coming out of the EU, they want to show that this, with this mark symbolizes quality and it stands for European values. And we'll go a little bit later into what some of these values are. But let's get into our first reading for today.
Like all initiatives developed by 21st Century, the label is intended as a blueprint that sparks conversation. The team has built a living ecosystem of use cases that show how the label could integrate into daily life, from a simple logo on a fruit sticker to an embossed mark on the side of a leather chair. The label was designed to pair with digital product passports, a QR code the EU will require by 2027 for categories like batteries, textiles, electronics, and furniture. Eventually, it could subsume existing certifications like CE as an umbrella label that is relatable and easy for consumers to understand. Instead of decoding what B Corp or CE means, you would see Made in Europe and immediately associate it with European values like sustainability, ethical production, and consumer protection.
So we talked about the think tank 21st Century yesterday, and 21st Century is a think tank that talks about things about the future of Europe, and it's based in the capital of Denmark, Copenhagen. So here it says, like all initiatives developed by 21st Century, the label is intended as a blueprint that sparks conversation. Peter, what is a blueprint?
You're right. A blueprint is what the architect who's building a house or a building comes up with that shows the basic outline of the building or the structure, whatever it happens to be. And it is printed on a special kind of blue paper. I'm not sure exactly why. It's an architectural fine point. But nevertheless, the term blueprint means the plan for something. You know, the essential parts of it are on the blueprint. It's not completely detailed and fleshed out, as we say, but the blueprint is the basic plan for the builders to follow.
Yeah. So basically, with all these things developed 21st century, they're the kind of the instigator. Yeah. They're the ones that they want to get this conversation started. Now, of course, they are paid. I mean, they're not doing this for free.
Right.
I mean, think tanks do get paid. Usually they get paid by the government. They get paid by some political party. They are paid. It's not done for free. But this blueprint, they hope, will spark conversation, will start conversations. And the team has built a living ecosystem of use cases that show how the label could integrate into daily life. So what is use cases?
Right. A use case is simply a sort of contemporary term for examples of something. Case studies, sure, yeah. The team, it's an interesting choice of images here that the team has built a living ecosystem of use cases, of examples, showing how the label could integrate into daily life, how it could be made part of, be blended into daily life. And it ranges, the use cases range from a simple logo on a fruit sticker to an embossed mark on the side of a leather chair. An embossed, if something is embossed, it means that it has a surface that is decorated with a raised pattern of some sort. If you've ever felt an official government document, sometimes they will have an embossed label on them, and if you run your fingers over it, you can feel how the paper raises up slightly at the point where that embossed mark is, instead of it just being ink.
Yeah, so they give many examples. And, you know, like any good logo that you design, you have to be able to put it on anything.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it can't just look good on paper. You need to be able to put it on that fruit. You need to be able to put it on somebody's face. If somebody wants to draw on their face, you know, for face painting, it needs to be easily, like the most recognizable ones. Like, I know I've used the Nike one so many times today, but so many times yesterday too, the Nike swoosh.
Yeah.
That Nike is just so easy. Anybody could draw it.
Right.
It's very memorable. It's simple. It's easy. And we can think of some of the most iconic brands, right?
Right, right. The golden arches of McDonald's. A child could draw that.
A child could draw M, yeah. Right?
The Apple of Apple computers. It's a very simple apple shape with a little bite taken out of it.
That's right. And then we think of, for example, Chanel, high fashion. It's like two C's, right?
Right, right.
Two C's.
Coco
but
Chanel.
If you don't draw it correctly, you might draw the Gucci label, like the
yes.
Two G's, right? It's easy to sometimes mess those up. But yes, it has to be easily replicable on many different types of products. And the label was designed to pair with digital product passports. Now, this whole idea of the digital product passport is really interesting because,
yeah.
For example, each of us has a passport. And this passport shows our country of origin, right? It shows our date of birth, our country of origin, and our real legal name. So what does this digital product passport have?
Right.
Peter.
It has a QR code. We're all familiar with QR codes by now. A QR code that the European Union will require by 2027 for things like batteries, textiles, electronics, and furniture. They'll all have this QR code on them, which will function as a passport for the product. You scan the QR code and you'll be able to learn the basic information about the product, just like you can learn the basic information about a person from their passport.
That's right. And this basic information includes the country of origin, where did the product come from, and it also will see whether this product meets the European Union's high environmental standards, especially sustainability. And circularity. And circularity is something that we will definitely be talking more about on Advanced, because it's very, very important when we're talking about creating products that every single part of that product, it can be reused or recycled, or it won't be wasted.
Right.
And the whole idea of circularity is we don't waste anything, you know, and we don't use things like plastics that cannot be broken down.
Yeah.
So that's circularity. So yeah, like Peter said, you scan the QR code, it will give you all this information about this product and basically track it from its origin to now, that it meets the EU's high environmental and safety standards. And here it goes on to say, eventually, now we're talking about that new 12-star EU label, eventually it could subsume existing Now, that's interesting. We don't use subsume that much.
Not that much, no. But
what is subsume?
Subsume means to include someone or something as a member of a group or a type instead of considering it off by itself. So what it means here in the text is that the label, the Made in Europe label we're talking about, could subsume existing certifications like CE, Conformité Européenne, existing labels of quality or country of origin. They could all be drawn under this new Made in Europe label, and the Made in Europe label would become what we call the umbrella label. Like an umbrella, it spreads out over something, and so the Made in Europe label would spread out over these other existing labels. They would be, and that's what it means to be subsumed by something, to be drawn in under one sort of major category, rather than this label and that label and that label, and they're all off by themselves.
So you have one big label that includes all the other labels.
Exactly.
So if I see that this new Made in Europe label, if I see those 12 stars in the shape of a small E, then that means that this product also has a CE label, and this product also have this B Corp label. Basically, a B Corp here is just saying that this product is actually good for society.
Right.
So it's actually, I would think that this is basically, it's made by a company that is good for the environment, a company that is good for society.
Right.
And basically, in this world now, it's basically, it's like saying that this is a product from an ESG company.
Yeah.
So that's basically what we're saying with a B Corp symbol.
What does ESG stand for?
Okay, this is a test. Okay, E stands for environment, S stands for society, and G stands for governance.
Oh.
So ESG is a really popular term that has taken over in like maybe the past 10 years. And it shows that a company cares about the environment. A company cares about us as society. A company cares about society. It's not exploiting society. It's good for society. And G, governance, is talking about the company is good to its employees.
Hmm.
It's creating a safe environment for its employees. It's not abusing its employees. So that's what ESG companies are. So I think with a B Corp label, I think it's similar to the ESG idea. It just means
it sounds
that,
like it, yeah.
Yeah, it just means this product is good for society. And then here we go on to talk about European values. And European values, sustainability, being friendly to the environment, ethical production. So something is ethical, it means we're not abusing the people that are making the products for us.
We're paying them a fair wage.
You're paying. There's no slavery or like, you know, we're not using like 10-year-old kids in India or like Bangladesh.
Dangerous working conditions.
Exactly. And consumer protection. So we're also protecting our consumers from dangerous things like we mentioned yesterday, like poisons, like arsenic.
Right, right.
Yes.
Or scammers.
Or scammers, yeah. Yes. So this label does have meaning attached to it. Well, friends, let's get into our second reading for today. And we'll talk about enforcement. So now you have this wonderful new label. How do you ensure that this label is actually accepted by many companies and it's not just adopted, that people will respect this label?
Building on momentum. This isn't the first time the idea of a European made-in label has surfaced. Back in 2014, the European Parliament backed a proposal for source country labeling, including a voluntary made-in EU tag. But the proposal stalled due to political resistance and fragmented enforcement. Now, Fabren and Shaughnessy argue the conditions are different. Europe's leverage on the geopolitical stage is rising. Russia's war on Ukraine has renewed interest from candidate countries like Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. Brexit has made the EU passport all the more desirable, and disillusionment with the American brand has made some companies turn to the EU. The biggest hurdle may be adoption. Smaller businesses will need incentives to retrofit supply chains for this label. But 21st Century's vision is not to wait for law, it's to catalyze a movement. Countries like Canada and Denmark have already started to take action with their own versions of made-in labels. If large corporations like Lego were to adopt the mark voluntarily, it could inspire smaller companies to think about the label as a positioning exercise. We're thinking about the European brand as a long-term investment, says Fabren, and a made-in-Europe label is one contributor to building that brand.
Peter, the EU has been around for a very long time, right? The EU has been around, I actually don't remember its founding date, but it's been around
sometime in the 90s, right?
I think maybe even earlier. It's been around for decades. But is this the first time of a Made in Europe label? Like the concept has, is this the first time of a concept of a Made in Europe label?
No, it's actually not. This idea of a Made in Europe label originally came to the surface, as we say, originally was presented back in 2014 when the European Parliament backed a proposal for source country labeling, including a voluntary made in the EU tag. Voluntary means something you don't have to do, but that you are encouraged to do, but you don't have to do it. But the proposal stalled. Good vocab word there, stall. It just means it stopped moving forward. It didn't necessarily, you know, get destroyed or completely put aside, but it just, there reached a point where it didn't go, made no more progress, didn't go forward anymore. It stalled due to political resistance and fragmented enforcement. Fragment. You think of a plate that you accidentally drop and it breaks into multiple pieces on the ground, all these fragments, and it no longer has the unity that it needs to function as a dinner plate in a fragmented state. So you, if you have fragmented enforcement of something, then you don't have really any enforcement at all.
Yeah, so you have fragmented enforcement. Maybe you have like five different government agencies are in charge of five different things, and they're all trying to enforce something, so it's just really messy, and you just can't get it done. So fragmented enforcement and political resistance. Political resistance just means political opposition, another word for political opposition. There's some group that's against it, and I think part of this was, when I'm just thinking part of the resistance might be, if I'm a very, very strong country with a very strong brand, like Made in Germany, maybe I would prefer keeping my Made in Germany label. Because like there are other countries in the European Union that are not as strong economically, or, you know, people do not put a very high rating to them.
Yeah.
Like some of the poorer countries.
Sure.
So maybe I don't want to be associated with those poorer countries.
You don't want to be subsumed in with those other countries just because you're all part of Europe.
Exactly. I want to stand out on my own.
Yeah.
So I want to be a star. I want to be the German star. I don't really want to have the other 12 stars.
Right.
And I think that might have been part of it. It could be nationalist groups in different countries are against this whole idea of the made in the EU tag. But, now there's a big but, in our next paragraph, Fabren and Shaughnessy argue the conditions are different? The world has changed.
The world has changed.
What is different now?
Well, Europe's leverage on the geopolitical stage is rising. Leverage, a word that means your influence, your power. Europe's leverage on the geopolitical stage is rising due to current events. Russia's war on Ukraine has renewed interest in joining the European Union from countries like Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine, obviously. Brexit, the way that the United Kingdom separated itself from the European Union, has made the European Union passport more desirable. And also disillusionment, nice big word there, disillusionment meaning to lose your faith in something or in someone, to no longer believe that it's good quality. Disillusionment with the American brand has made some companies turn to the European Union.
Yeah, and this disillusionment with the American brand, much of it, I would say the bulk of it, is due to the current president in the U.S. because of the way that he is running his policies is causing a lot of resentment from other countries toward the U.S. So disillusionment with basically anything made in the U.S. or any policy coming from the U.S. has caused the European brand to become more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe a couple of years back, people would think, well, made in the USA is the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now with what's happening in the world, people are thinking, maybe I don't want things that are made in the USA. I want things that are made at home mm-hmm. or made in Europe. So these are all factors that's contributing to making this whole idea of branding Europe even more attractive to the Europeans. Yes. And then, but there are hurdles. So anytime you have a hurdle, that just means that you have some barriers, right? We think of, in track and field, we think of the hurdles race, right? Where there's hurdles, like 100-meter dash hurdles. It's like you have to jump all over all those hurdles.
Right, those little fences right in the track.
Yeah. And then, so what are the barriers to adoption?
Right. Well, the barrier to adoption is smaller businesses. They're going to need incentives. They're going to need things that motivate them, incentives to retrofit supply chains for this label. To retrofit something means to improve something, a machine, a piece of equipment, by putting new and better parts in it after it's already been used for some time. So this isn't about making something good before it's used for the first time. This is about doing it while it's already been used for a while. A retrofitting something to an airplane or to a car is to make it better after it's already been flown or driven for a while.
Yeah, I kind of think of buildings. We talk about retrofitting buildings a lot. And when you retrofit a building, for example, perhaps we want to save energy. Perhaps I want to install some solar panels on the top of the building. Like maybe I live in a sunny place, and if I install some solar panels, at least I can get some sun. Or maybe I install better windows. Like, for example, here on the island, for many years, I always thought the ceiling, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, the ceiling of windows were not that good mm-hmm. for older buildings mm-hmm. because the wind would come in.
Yeah.
In a colder country like Canada, where I lived for many years, in Canada, the ceiling, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, just to make sure everyone understands, it's like how the window is sealed, not the ceiling.
Right.
The ceiling of windows was done much better because Canada is much colder. And if we don't have good ceiling in our windows in Canada, oh man, during wintertime, like all the heating in the world would not be enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about retrofitting buildings.
Right.
So you'd retrofit buildings. Often we make improvements so that we're saving more energy, like we're making this building kind of better. Now, retrofit is a little bit different from renovate. It's similar, but not really the same, right?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about renovation, like we're renovating our apartment, you're renovating your house, we're talking more about the look.
Right.
Right.
Renovation
aesthetics
is more of a change.
Yeah.
Retrofitting is just an improvement.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
People would say, well, isn't a change an improvement? Not necessarily. A change is a change. It's a neutral term. But to retrofit means you've got an old conditioner, you replace it with a new air conditioner.
Yeah.
Renovation means you move the air conditioner to a different room.
Yes.
For example.
But you still have the same air conditioner.
But it's still the same air
or
conditioner.
Or maybe you
yeah.
move your sofa. Instead of having your sofa in the front of the room, now you move it to the back of the room.
Right. That's renovation.
So these two words are similar, but they're not completely the same. So what is 21st century's vision?
Right. Well, their vision is not to wait for law, not to wait for the European Union to actually make this label a legal requirement. They just want to catalyze a movement. Catalyze, a word that means to start something or to cause something to continue to grow, to catalyze a movement presumably to make it a law ultimately. They need to get other countries in the European Union to rally around them and to put pressure on lawmakers to actually make it a law. But 21st century isn't trying to do that all by themselves. They're trying to catalyze a movement.
They're trying to get people, like the governments and the people, to talk.
Right.
To talk about this. They start the conversation. Yesterday we talked about 21st century wanting to spark conversations, talk about this thing, and eventually, hopefully, that many people will think this is a good idea and take action. Many leaders will take action on this and actually pass it through the European Parliament. Now, it's interesting. At the same time, there's countries like Canada and Denmark. They've started also, you know, making, branding their own country labels too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to brand the Made in Canada label, Made in Denmark label. Could go take a look. I mean, Canada has to be a maple leaf, right? I can't imagine other symbol.
Yeah, yeah. Because you look at a maple leaf, you think Canada. So if you just want a simple symbol, then can't do better than that.
Yeah, how about Denmark?
Denmark. What would you do for Denmark?
The Little Mermaid, maybe.
The Little Mermaid?
Yeah, maybe Little Mermaid.
Coming from the theater, of course, I would think Hamlet.
But we don't know.
Might not be
Hamlet
quite as
like.
Familiar to people outside of Denmark.
Yes, but
just have some
guy
holding
mermaid.
A skull looking at it.
Little Mermaid, or maybe a Lego. Maybe a Lego would be a good symbol of Denmark, because Lego comes from Denmark. So here it goes on to say, if large corporations like Lego were to adopt the mark voluntarily, it could inspire smaller companies to do so. Basically, you got to go have somebody who goes first, right? It's like you got to get, well, it's kind of like lemmings. You know the animal
lemmings? It's kind
lemming?
Of like lemmings, yes.
Like lemmings were part of like computer games back in the 90s or 80s when we're very young. I think in the 90s. They had this game of lemmings. Lemmings is an animal that first, it's a little mammal. The first animal jumps off the cliff, all the other lemmings will follow.
Yeah.
You know, so we tell kids, don't be a lemming. Just don't do what everybody else is doing. But the lemming game is really fun. If you have one lemming jump off the cliff, all the other lemmings will jump off the cliff. So here we're trying to adopt a lemming thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have the big company like Lego, or maybe a big company like IKEA from Europe, they put that EU label, the Made in Europe, that little E with the stars, they put it on their products. And when you do that, the small companies will follow the big leaders.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the idea. And then so to conclude, how do they look at the European brand?
Right. They think about the European brand as a long-term investment, something that will only pay off dividends, will only benefit you in the long run, not immediately. And a Made in Europe label is one contributor to building that brand. So they see themselves as just a part of an overall strategy of building the European brand.
Yes, building the brand of Team Europe.
Yeah.
Well, friends, this is it for today. We hope that you join us again very soon for another edition of Advanced. Signing off, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.